Okay, good afternoon and welcome to the San Francisco Planning Commission regular hearing for Thursday, May 8th, 2025. When we reach the item you're interested in speaking to, we ask that you line up on the screen side of the room or to your right. Each speaker will be allowed up to 3 minutes, and when you have 30 seconds remaining, you will hear a chime indicating your time is almost up. When your allotted time is up, I will announce that your time is up and take the next person queued to speak. There is a very convenient timer on the podium where you can see how much time you have left and watch your time tick down. Please speak clearly and slowly, and if you care to, state your name for the record. I ask that we silence any mobile devices that may sound off during these proceedings. And finally, I will remind members of the public that the Commission does not tolerate any disruption or outbursts of any kind. At this time, I'd like to take roll. Commission President So.
Present.
Commission Vice President Moore.
Here.
Commissioner Braun.
Here.
Commissioner Imperial.
Here.
Commissioner McGarry. And Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Thank you, Commissioners. We do expect Commissioner Campbell to join us shortly. First on your agenda, Commissioners, is consideration of items proposed for continuance. Items 1A and B for case numbers 2024-000343-CUA and VAR. Conditional use authorization and variance are proposed for continuance to June 5th, 2025. Item 2, case number 2023-011606-CUA at 935 Gary Street. Conditional use authorization is proposed for continuance to June 12th. Further, Commissioners, your short agenda just got a lot shorter. Under the regular calendar, staff is requesting continuances of both items 9 and 10 for case numbers 2020-00964-0OTH and 2024-00818-OTH for the Racial and Social Equity Action Plan and Community Investments Toolkit in Priority Equity Geographies. They are requesting a continuance to June 12th, Commissioners, June 12th. With that, we should open up public comment on your continuance calendar. Members of the public, this is your opportunity to address the Commission on their continuance calendar, only on the matter of continuance. Again, you need to come forward. Seeing none, public comment is closed, and your continuance calendar is now before you, Commissioners.
Commissioner Imperial.
Move to continue items as proposed.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioners. On that motion to continue all items as proposed, Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
Commissioner McGarry?
Aye.
Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Braun?
Aye.
Commissioner Imperial?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
And Commission President So?
Aye.
So move, Commissioners. That motion passes unanimously 7-0.
Placing Jonas, I'll also continue item 1B.
Thank you, Zoning
to
Administrator.
June 5th.
Commissioners, that'll place us on your consent calendar. All matters listed here under constitute a consent calendar are considered to be routine by the Planning Commission and may be acted upon by a single roll call vote. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a member of the Commission, the public, or staff so requests, in which event the matter shall be removed from the consent calendar and considered as a separate item at this or a future hearing. Item 3. Case number 2025-002372 PCA Interim Housing in Hotels and Motels Planning and Building Code Amendments. And item 4, case number 2025-000833 CUA at 1222 Harrison Street, conditional use authorization. Members of the public, this is your opportunity to request that either of these two consent calendar items be pulled off of consent. Again, you need to come forward. Seeing none, public comment is closed, and your consent calendar is now before you, Commissioners.
Commissioner Braun.
Move to approve items 3 and 4.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioners. On that motion to approve your consent calendar items, Commissioner Campbell.
Aye.
Commissioner McGarry.
Aye.
Commissioner Williams.
Aye.
Commissioner Braun.
Aye.
Commissioner Imperial.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
And Commission President So.
Aye.
So move, Commissioners. That motion passes unanimously 7-0. Commission matters, item 5, land acknowledgement.
The Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula, as the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone, have never ceded, lost, or forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging their ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First People.
Thank you. Item 6, Commission comments and questions. Seeing none, Commissioners, we can move on to department matters. Item 7, Director's announcements. Item 8, review of past events at the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Appeals. There was no Historic Preservation Commission hearing yesterday.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Aaron Starr, Manager of Legislative Affairs. In contrast to last week's long report, this will be a short one, as there were no planning department items at the Land Use Committee. So at the full board this week, Supervisor Dorsey's ordinance that would amend entertainment uses in the South of Market District passed its second read. The Alexandria Theater Special Use District passed its first read. Two landmark designation initiation resolutions, one for the Chula Abbey Early Residential Historic District and one for the Alert Alley Early Historic District were adopted. And there was a hearing for an appeal for a tentative parcel map at 2-4 Addison Street, but that was withdrawn. So that's all I have for you today.
Thanks. Good afternoon, President So, Commissioners. Corey Teague, Zoning Administrator of the Board of Appeals, did meet last night and heard four cases, but none of them were of interest to the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. General public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the Commission on items of interest to the public that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Commission, except agenda items. With respect to agenda items, your opportunity to address the Commission will be afforded when the item is reached in the meeting. When the number of speakers exceed the 15-minute limit, general public comment may be moved to the end of the agenda.
Mr. Aon and I have handouts. And I also have my 150 words to be included in the board minutes, commission minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Drantler. The controller issued a public integrity review update in August of 2024 that falsely reported that all 8 recommendations from the controller's 2021 DBI public integrity review have been implemented. I'm going to talk about 2 critical recommendations that have not been implemented 3.5 years after the report was issued. On the next slide, there's a table that shows, having a little problem here, that all 8 recommendations were implemented, and that's simply not true. The report had 2 significant recommendations. One, control reports to identify red flag activities by DBI inspectors, and a second one was to increase penalty fees to encourage code compliance. Those 2 recommendations were not implemented. Recommendation 3B, monthly review of same-day and out-of-district inspections is under review. It was not implemented. Why? There are no DBI management control reports that monitor for inappropriate or improper activities by DBI building inspectors. Time doesn't permit me to go through them. And DBI is not allowed to increase penalty fees without a fee study, and the 2024 fee study report scope of work specifically excluded a review of fines and penalties, so it couldn't have been implemented. As you see on the next slide, DBI is considering fee increases 3.5 years later. This is totally unacceptable. There's no excuse for it. What makes it worse is the city covered it up. The reason I'm bringing it to your attention is that there is a task force, hopefully I know one of you is at least leading it, that is going to deal with the issues of merging the two departments, and you need to be aware of the systemic corruption that exists at the Department of Building Inspection. Thank you.
Still had time, but that's
okay.
No, it's okay. Hi, good afternoon, Georgia Shudish. I sent you two emails about those two properties in Noe Valley, and for the one for Clipper Street, which you had the DR hearing back in January and had that crazy thing with it's a demo, but it's not a demo, which was total insanity, frankly. I did not include the sales history for 411 Clipper, like I did for the Elizabeth project. And I think that's important. If I could have the overhead real quick, please. Okay, so it sold. It was listed on Halloween on 2022 for under $1 million, which is something I haven't seen in Noe Valley in a while. But anyway, it was the pandemic. But then it sold before Christmas for $1.625. So again, that's part of the frenzy of people taking advantage of the remodeling and alteration and the demo calcs, because originally I think they were just going to do it as an alteration. Then they decided to do it as a demo, and then they decided to do it as a DBI alteration. And so now you see it's for sale for that. And in the meantime, it apparently, according to the neighbors, it has been fixed up, and it's been made livable. And that's my whole point in these two emails. It's the livability of these houses. The one in Elizabeth was remodeled out of existence, and that was a livable house. Just like now, the Clipper Street one is a livable house. And we haven't seen the financial feasibility studies yet to understand what this all means in terms of new housing. So like I said, the Elizabeth one is now for sale for $9 million, and I think that project manipulated the demo calcs. And that's why Noe Valley was declared the epicenter of de facto demolition by the staff, because that house was in the middle of all those other houses being done. And now with the Clipper house, it's now a livable house. You saw the pictures, both sets. I don't think anyone could deny that they weren't livable houses. And to me, that represents the problem for the neighborhoods in the priority equity geographies, because there are a lot of livable houses there. And I was going to talk about that, but that thing was continued, but I'll talk about it in June. So I think the livability issue of housing and the demo calcs, which are still in existence for the PEG neighborhoods, they haven't been changed under the constraints reduction ordinance, is very important in going forward. And that's why I keep harping on adjusting the demo calcs. And I'll leave it at that. And I hope you got to look at those two emails, because I think they tell a lot of stories. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Your last call for general public comment. Seeing none, general public comment is closed.
For the minute.
And we can move on to your regular calendar, commissioners. As previously stated, items 9 and 10 have already been continued, placing us on item 11 for case number 2024-002087 CUA 788 Arkansas Street, conditional use authorization. Please note on March 6, 2025, after hearing and closing public comment, you continued this matter to April 10th. By a vote of 6-1, Commissioner Campbell was against, and then again continued from April 10th to this date.
Good afternoon, President So, Commissioners. Gabriela Pantoja of Department Staff. The case before you is a request for conditional use authorization pursuant to Planning Code Sections 209.1, 303, and 317 for the demolition of an existing two-story single-family residency and the construction of a four-story, approximately 4,348-square-foot single-family home with a 486-square-foot studio ADU. It also contains two parking spaces, two class one bicycle parking spaces, and approximately 1,500 square feet of usable open space. The subject property is located within the RH2 zoning district, 40X height and bulk district, and priority equity geography, SUD, and within the Potrero Hill neighborhood. It was developed in 1910 with approximately two bedroom dwelling unit, which is currently occupied by the property owner and applicant. On March 6, 2025, the commission heard the listed conditional use authorization for the demolition of the existing home to then construct a new single-family home. After hearing the item, the commission directed the project sponsor to explore the addition of a second dwelling unit at the subject property. And in response, the project sponsor has added an accessory dwelling unit under the state ADU program at the garage floor of the proposed residential building. The studio ADU will be approximately 486 square feet in size and be accessible via an interior common hallway along the south property line. The accessory dwelling unit will contain a full kitchen and be required to meet all requirements of San Francisco's health and safety codes, including the building and fire code. And to date, the department has received 8 letters in support of the project and none in opposition. The department finds the project is on balance and consistent with objectives and policies of the general plan and the Potrero Hill area plan, and recommends approval for the following reasons. The project will demolish an existing age-sound single-family residency, which is considered generally more affordable, but will add a second unit at the site. The project will provide a multi-unit residential building that increases the rental and ownership opportunities for middle-income households and promotes multi-generational living within the space. And the project will provide a family-sized dwelling unit and an ADU that both have access to family amenities, including laundry, off-street parking spaces, and usable open space. And this does conclude staff's presentation. I'm available for any questions.
Okay, project sponsor, this matter has already been heard, so you have 3 minutes.
Excuse me, Dick Hunt with Hunt Hale Jones Architects. Eitan Fraser, the owner, is here. Really, we're just here to answer questions. We responded as best we could to the comments that came from the commission directly, and would be happy to go more deeply into any of that if you have questions. Certainly appreciate the direction that Gabriella and staff gave us throughout the entire process, and I think they got us to a point that we hope you can approve it tonight. Thank you.
Okay, we should open up public comment. Members of the public, we each receive 1 minute. Last call for public comment. Seeing none, public comment is closed, and this matter is now before you, commissioners.
Commissioner Braun?
Yes. I just want to acknowledge and thank the project sponsor for taking the commission's direction and modifying the project to include the ADU in the house. Modest as it is, I'm pleased to see that, you know, there's going to be an addition to housing here, despite the fact that the sound existing home would be demolished with the project. And, you know, my hope is that ADU could either be rented out to somebody or maybe serve a function someday for an au pair or in-laws who, you know, are visiting. So it seems like a good functional addition to the home itself, and I appreciate that. I would like to pose a question to staff and maybe Ms. Wadi. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for the project sponsor with as we heard the last hearing, the recommendation by the department to deny the project came pretty late in the process. And so I'm curious to hear I found that very disappointing and like I said, I felt for the project owner on this, on that situation. So what changes has the department made in its processes to try to avoid such a late determination that the project is going to be recommended for disapproval?
Sure, I mean, I think a couple of things after the hearing. In talking with staff further, I think there might have been a little miscommunication or sort of misrepresentation of what our communication was on this project. So, I have sort of less concerns that that message didn't come early in the process. I don't believe at this time that it was an 11th hour communication. But separate to that, sort of at a more macro level, it is the direction to staff that as part of their first plan check that happens, that they are not only doing sort of a very technical black and white code review, but they're also reviewing projects for design, they're reviewing projects for policy. And if there is anything that would sort of raise the red flag that would preclude our ability to support the project, that those issues should be identified in that first plan check.
Okay, thank you for that. You know, this project at this point, it does have my support. I appreciate the changes to it.
Thank you, Commissioner Braun. And thank you for bringing up all the follow-up issues to carry on from last time we read this item. And I do appreciate the project sponsor and their architect to take our recommendation and incorporate into your project. I also thank you, the staff, for continuing to diligently follow up with this project. I think moving forward, I genuinely just love to see San Francisco, particularly in that area, Patrol Hill area, to have a continued diversified neighborhood and communities. And thank you for committing your generational living in our city and in particularly in Patrol Hill. So I wish you the best, and I'm in full support of approval of this project today. And hopefully you will get it built and have your family moved in soon. And Commissioner Campbell?
This project had my support last time, so obviously has my support this time. Had it my support last time, has my support this time. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. Sounds like there's a lot here. No other comments.
Second.
So, yeah. Motion to approve with conditions. All right.
If there's no further deliberation, commissioners, there is a motion that has been seconded to approve this matter with conditions. On that motion, Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
Commissioner McGarry?
Aye.
Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Braun?
Aye.
Commissioner Imperial?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
And Commissioner President So?
Aye.
So move, commissioners. That motion passes unanimously 7-0. Commissioners, that'll place us under your discretionary review calendar for items 12A and B, case numbers 2022-009794-DRP and VAR at 1153 Guerrero Street. You will consider the request for discretionary review, and the zoning administrator will consider the request for variance.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Trent Green and staff architect. The item before you is a public initiated request for a discretionary review, a building permit application 2022.0513.4235 to construct an existing enclosed three-story rear stair and porch that occupies the rear yard of a two-unit residential building. Planning Code Section 134 requires the project to provide a rear yard, therefore variance is required. The existing building is a Category A, historic resource present, built in 1885. The DR requester, Paul Orr, of 55 to 57 Elizabeth Street, the adjacent property to the east, is concerned that the proposed project has numerous building code violations and hazardous conditions and construction practices that are creating imminent hazards such as lead, dust, and debris to be released, as well as potential fire hazards. The porch is an illegally enclosed structure and poses a significant risk due to its structural inadequacies. The proposed alternatives are deny the variance and remove the illegally enclosed rear porch, or require construction of a code-compliant rear stair that follows Section 134 rear yard requirements. To date, the department has received 19 letters in opposition in the form of a petition and no letters in support of the project. Staff recommendation, we generally support the proposed reconstruction of the rear stairs and porch to meet current structural and egress requirements. The porch appears to have historically existed in the same configuration and footprint for many years. The full lot coverage of the house appears on both the 1919 and 1935 Sanborn maps. Therefore, it is an existing non-complying structure which may be repaired without a permit, however, replacement requires a variance. Work has exceeded the threshold of repair, therefore, variance is sought to rebuild the structure to current building standards. The previous applicant on behalf of the building owner was Rodrigo Santos, whose drawings were for a shoring permit to support the existing structure only. New drawings have been prepared by a licensed architect to adequately and accurately describe the proposed scope of work to the confidence of staff. The current scope of work is to rebuild the porch and stairs in kind to current building code standards, including fire-rated wall assemblies on property line conditions. The historical appearance and function of the porch appears to have been generally enclosed as an unconditioned space serving as access to egress stairs. The north side at the upper level facing Elizabeth Street is enclosed only by an open wood lattice. To allow the continued use of this existing non-complying porch with the reconstruction of a safer structure is appropriate and within and with proper permits and construction addresses the DR requester's concerns of structural risks. Therefore, staff recommends not taking discretionary review and approving. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we should hear from the discretionary review requester. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me? Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
All right, fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to.
Can you identify yourself? Are you the project sponsor or your DR sponsor?
I'm the DR.
Okay.
Applicant.
You're the DR applicant.
Okay. I don't see the DR, the variance team here.
Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, please. I have comments and letters here that can be shared with the commission. I have seen maybe 7 different renditions or reiterations of these drawings. Long and short is that through an NOV, Santos and McKern and their LLC have repeatedly applied for this project in various different forms with lots of inconsistencies in drawings. And so I have included several letters from myself and neighbors, or a neighbor, including a letter from Robert Santos that was to the building department saying that it was structurally unsound. And I understand that I have some drawings here. I don't know if I could point out some things.
Speak in the microphone.
Bottom line is...
Well, please speak directly to the microphone.
I'm sorry. I'll just cut to the chase and state that I think some of the potential solutions here could have been the people asking for the variance could have and did at one time present to the community the second part of the drawings there dated 8/21 with an open space rear staircase built code compliant, for which all the neighborhood did review and at least 30 people signed off on approval, but they never submitted it to this commission. Why? I don't know. Furthermore, I would state that this architect's particular rendition or revision of these drawings are completely inconsistent with previous stuff that we've seen. Their details, this represents my house and my...
Sir, I need to ask you again to speak into the microphone.
Okay. right here at the main entry of my house. This is my main house and my tenants' entry and egress to our homes. They're talking about constructing this rear porch at the property line going up. One second. The variance is based on the fact that there was an NOV. They're going for a variance to build in kind what was there. Trying to just skip through much of these comments to important things like, I don't know, can you see this? These blue lines represent what was there in its original. It was just a rear back porch. It was later scabbed over with additional wood with no interior conventional framing at all. It's structurally unsound. There's letters even from the variance structural engineer, Rod Santos, stating that it's all dilapidated, dry rotten, and everything. They further went on to jack up the back of the house and disconnect this back porch, leaving it as a freestanding rear porch. During that process, they tilted the entire rear porch towards my home by 4 inches. I complained. I came to this commission. You requested that a structural engineer, senior building guy, go down and look at it. And I don't know. I have, maybe it's best with the limited time I have, just show you pictures, which you all have right there. That's my staircase enclosed in the tarp after many complaints by myself, is my entrance. The second pictures here are of the structure literally falling onto my property, damaging my property, could have killed somebody if they were there.
Thank you, sir. That is your time, but you have a 2-minute rebuttal.
Okay.
We should hear from the project sponsor if they are here. If not, we should open up public comment. Members of the public, this is your opportunity to address the commission on this matter. You each have 2 minutes.
I draw your attention to this picture.
Ma'am, you need to speak in the microphone, please.
Certainly. I draw your attention to this picture here with the narrow staircase leading into the backyard. 3 times in the last 4 years, an intruder has come up those stairs and broken into the house next door to me.
Can
a property
hear you.
Owner
I'm
at
sorry.
1167
Could you lift up
Guerrero.
The microphone, please, and state
yeah?
your sentence? I cannot hear you.
I'm a property owner at 1167 Guerrero. I can't see what's coming up those stairs because of that tarp, that enclosure. I can't see the stairway from my house on Guerrero, from the back of my house, so I can't see who's coming up. And with 3 break-ins in very recent history, I don't think that it should be replaced, these sides on that staircase, because it's a security issue for us on Guerrero. That is direct access to our backyards there, and we can't even see who's coming in. So I request, as a property owner of 33 years at 1167 Guerrero, that wall not be replaced so that we might have a better security profile for us. Any questions?
Last call for public comment.
Good day. I just wanted to read this from Roger Miller, who lives at 55 Elizabeth Street. He couldn't make it here today, so I told him I would read his letter. I am writing to support the analysis and recommendations of Mr. Paul Orr, my next door neighbor at 57 Elizabeth Street, regarding the problematic closed staircase at 1153 Guerrero Street renovation project. I have lived in the neighborhood for 33 years. My family and I strongly feel that the existing enclosed external staircase structure at the property is far too monolithic and clearly detracts from the residential character of the neighborhood. It also does not provide enough space between buildings to prevent the spread of a potential fire. The solution recommended by Mr. Orr for an open external staircase would provide much more light, open space, and building separation along the already built out residential block of Elizabeth Street. In addition, this solution would facilitate any future maintenance activities at 1153 Guerrero, such that they would not encroach or damage the adjacent property at 57 Elizabeth Street. I urge the Planning Department to deny the request for a variance that would allow the external staircase to remain enclosed. It should be rebuilt as an open external staircase for improved neighborhood aesthetics and reduced fire risk adjacent to the properties. Sincerely, Roger Miller. Roger Miller. Thank you.
Okay, final last call for public comment.
I think there's one more coming here.
Hi, thank you. I'm sorry, I have an accent, so hopefully you're going to understand what I'm saying. My name is Rashida Orr. I live next to 1153 and 55 Guerrero Street. Dear Commissioner Diamond, I am waiting to address ongoing issues surrounding the building permit application mentioned above. As a professional senior project and construction manager with over 40 years of experience, I believe it is everyone's best interest to resolve this matter and allow this project to be processed. After reviewing multi-site and structure engineering and architectural design, 5 to 7 iterations from this developer and associated party, I have concluded that the planning department has the predetermined the statute of the property 1153 and 1155 Guerrero Street, despite its legal rear porch. It is still considered an existing historic structure. This determination seemed to overlook the violation and some San Francisco Planning Code Section 103, 134, subsection 102A to 102A20, giving the limited resource available to the Planning and Building Inspection Department over the past 2 years, I find it is increasingly futile for myself and my neighborhood to continue constating that this property should adhere to the same open space ordinance that will have follow with the building or home. I urge the planning department to consider this point.
Thank you, ma'am. That is your time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, final last call for public comment. You will just making sure no one else wants to speak under public comment. Okay, with that, public comment is closed, and now you have your 2-minute rebuttal, sir.
Yeah, commissioners, once again, thanks for taking the time to listen to me. I've been building here in San Francisco for 42 years, including the building that we're standing in. Yeah, I was saying that I've been building here in San Francisco for 42 years, including the building that we're standing in right now. The bottom line is me, as a DR applicant, have been frustrated with the 7 different iterations of drawings that we've seen. The fact that this commission called for inspectors and senior structural engineers to go out there on behalf of DBI and report back to you, never saw a report back. Rather, what I saw was that the builder continued building on the interior of this house without a variance. when they lifted the house, it rendered all the existing floors and stairs unusable. They've continued to build in there. The only thing they haven't really changed is the exterior skin of the three walls. Per these details, being a professional builder, I don't see how they're going to accomplish that. But at the same time, I realize things got to continue and get built. I'm just stating that this should have been torn down because it is a complete teardown, no matter how you try to disguise it with smoke and mirrors. And they should have capitulated to the same thing the rest of us in the neighborhood did, which is to erect an open space exterior staircase. That's it. With that stated, I'll accept whatever you're doing. He's basically building a spite wall alongside my house, which they'll never be able to maintain. I would like to know, by a show of hands, if anybody that's here has been to the property and looked at it. I know I met with David Winslow, who basically agreed it was a complete teardown.
Thank you, sir. That is your time.
Thank you.
With that, commissioners, this matter is now before you. I will actually, before turning it over to you, call out for the project sponsor in case they've arrived late. Seeing not, is now before you, commissioners.
Commissioner McGarry.
I do have to say that I do know Mr. Orr, Paul. Yes, Paul has been a member of Local 22 for as long as I've been a member of Local 22 and a lot longer.
That's correction.
I do not believe I have a conflict in this, but I do want to let my fellow commissioners know that I've just realized that I know Mr.
Yes,
Paul
me and
Orr
Sean McGarry have known each other for multiple years.
Thank you for the disclosure.
Just to clarify on the record, Commissioner McGarry, it sounds like you're just making a professional disclosure of a professional relationship between yourself and the DR requester.
I haven't seen Mr. Orr since, 2010?
It's been a while, Sean.
But I just realized that
yes. So it's
I
a
do
professional
know Mr. Orr,
professional
disclosure. Yes.
Thank you.
So thank you. And Commissioner Williams?
Just to the planning department, just curious what the DR applicant has mentioned, that it was a complete teardown or looked like a complete teardown. What was the analysis of did somebody went down there from the building department, and what happened after that? Because it's kind of a little cloudy to me what actually happened after somebody apparently from the building department went down there.
I'm happy to try to respond to that, mm-hmm. Commissioner Williams. So this was originally before the commission and myself as a variance because it had been determined to basically be a replacement project and not a repair project. So that determination was made. You know, DBI has had enforcement activity there for the last several years and issued an NOV in 2022, a stop work order. So DBI made the determination that this was essentially a replacement and not just a repair. And also because it is a replacement and not a repair, that's where you kind of get triggered into the variance world as well. Because if you're just doing repair, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're essentially replacing, then there's the provision of the code that anything you kind of voluntarily remove and then put back is subject to current code. So that determination has been made already before anything got to us. What's changed is when this was heard before, there were concerns about the accuracy of the plans at that time, kind of based on the history and just those plans. Mm-hmm. Not so much about what was being proposed, but what was the true existing state. And there were comments from commissioners about not being comfortable with the plans at that time, and there was a request that that planning staff do another inspection with DBI and that new plans be drawn and just ensure that they are more accurate. And mm-hmm. I wasn't part of that myself. I know Mr. Winslow mm-hmm. And DBI did do another site inspection. Obviously, there's a new designer. involved. There are new plans that were developed to respond to those comments and were reviewed by planning and determined to meet that requirement and respond mm-hmm. to that request. What's actually being proposed isn't really different except for the clarification that the walls will be fire rated because it is a replacement. So the new structure that will be there because it is on the property line will have to be fire rated. So that's one of the main differences that's between kind of what you heard before and what's here mm-hmm. now is just the plans have been clarified. There has been site inspections done. Again, Mr. Winslow is not here today, but he was the staff person along with DBI who did that inspection. Mm-hmm. And you have updated plans before you.
Okay. I just got a question, too, about the if it was an open stair, would it still require a wall? It seemed like it kind of was on the property line, and so.
Sure. And obviously, this is a building code requirement, not planning code, but yes, right. If it's on the property line or within a certain proximity, even if it's an open stair structure, it's going to require a certain level of firewall.
So whatever happens, there's going to have to be a firewall there.
It depends on the design of the stairs that are put in there. Yeah. I mean, the way they're designed now, essentially to be at the property line.
Right.
I think there's an assumption there'll be some level of firewall. I can't speak specifically to if there's alternative designs that would work with the configuration of the existing building that could prevent the firewall. I think that's a level of analysis I haven't been part of. Mm-hmm. I don't, so I wouldn't be able to speak to that specifically. I don't know if that's come up at all.
I think the analysis was that the structure has been there for over 100 years as an enclosed structure and built to the property line. And so, at the property line, it would require a firewall, whether, it's fully enclosed or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've worked in the city for a long time, and I've seen, a lot of these, right, that they've gotten enclosed over the years. I'm just, one thing that struck out to me is what I heard the presenter say was that the rest of the community kind of was held to a different standard as far as having to have an open stair. I don't know if that's true. It's what I heard. It's been my experience, too, that obviously repairing it and building in kind is kind of keeps you under the radar or out of the radar. Once you tear down a stair or structure, then it triggers all these other things. And so I'm guessing that's why the property owner has decided to go this route. I understand that the issues that the DR requester has put forward as far as the wall. Having said that, there's always been a has there always been a wall there?
Sir, again, I'm sorry, but you need to speak into the microphones.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. My family bought our home in 64. During that period of time, the open staircase has been scabbed onto not after 100 years. Anybody who knows building knows that the original building was built 8 feet back, had horizontal siding. The rear porch has vertical siding. It was tongue and groove boards that were just sort of scabbed on. Mm-hmm. It was not always enclosed like that. People can say what they want. Those of us who actually build know the difference.
Yeah.
More importantly, I would also just point out to you in the packet that I gave you, the latter half of the packet is the developers group drawings by Robert Santos on 822, where he shows what it would look like as an open staircase and what would be firewall and not firewall, if that would also help to answer your question.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You were going to pull it up to show us? Sure, go ahead.
I believe I sent a packet.
packet.
Drawings, the old drawings.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Under a previous reiteration set that was submitted to the community, but again, not to this commission, on their pages, and I'll try to pull this up and show
you. Is that A6?
Yeah, starting at A1.0, you can see. Here would be firewall, right here would be firewall. Right here would be firewall. This is, again, not the set that's been presented to you. This would be firewall, right? The rest of it is open space staircase. When one looks at this, would the Elizabeth Street old elevation right here. This is what their, at that time, would have been their proposed new elevation.
To facilitate this Q&A situation between my fellow Commissioner Williams and Mr. Orr, the fundamental question Commissioner Williams
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
To facilitate this dialogue, I'd like to emphasize that Commissioner Williams is asking a basic simple question of if those wall enclosing that staircase had been existing. And the answer would be yes or no, instead of going into details of construction technicalities.
The answer would have been no.
It had never been exist in your answer.
It exists now. It wasn't original to the house.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so sorry, I'm the project sponsor and I thought I had more time.
Thank you, Mr. Orr.
Thank you for that. And do you need a little minute to calm yourself down a little bit?
If that's okay with you guys.
Can you come in front of the podium and speak? Please identify yourself, and you can catch your breath a little bit too. We can take our turn.
It's okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I did run the whole way.
So basically, you are representing the project sponsor of this project.
I'm the architect for this project.
Okay.
And have done the drawings with my team to manifest the drawings and done the code analysis.
Okay, calm down a little bit. We just try to figure out whether we can give you 5 minutes or three. So you have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay, good afternoon. Commission members, thank you for the opportunity to present this project to you today. My name is Kyle Brunel, and I'm an architect representing the owner for this building. What we have provided for your review are documents consistent with the requirements of a site permit, not a full addendum construction permit. We are requesting the right to build and have not yet provided the detailed information for how to build. We have a Category A historic building constructed in 1885. The Sanborn map from 1919 indicates the existing building footprint in the proposed reconstructed building envelope has been there for at least 106 years. It is assumed the existing egress stairs for both units existed within the envelope proposed for the variance consideration. And it was presumably part of the original construction in 1885, though we don't have a way to verify that definitively with the documentation. An architect is bound by the Practice Act to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public, as well as their clients. We are also required to follow the due process outlined by the application applicable planning, building, and fire codes. And we are not allowed to create a less safe condition when working on existing buildings. Existing fire life safety features are to be maintained and, when feasible, improved. Pardon me. Our project is requesting entitlements to rebuild the existing stair and its enclosure in its current location with upgrades to its envelope to increase the safety of this egress path and comply with the 1 hour rated construction at the property lines. We consider the proposed aesthetic architectural articulation of the building's exterior to be consistent with the historic expression of the rest of this building, and the city's historic preservationists concur. We are requesting a variance because the existing non-conforming building envelope requires one if we are reconstructing more than 50%. Due to the poor condition of the original stair and its enclosure, more than 50% of the original construction was in need of reconstruction. Thank you for your time and attention, and we appreciate your consideration.
Commissioner Braun?
You know, I've been giving this a lot of thought. And I was on the commission at the time. We have some newer commissioners, and I was on the commission at the time that we first heard this item and raised the concerns about the drawings and versions of the drawings and the involvement of Rodrigo Santos in the project. And that's why, that was a big part of why we wanted the project sponsor to undergo some additional scrutiny on this project. I see the point being raised by the DR requester and the community. What I'm also seeing is this is sort of a different situation with the fact that this building backs right up to another property line at its rear. And so with the stairs would inevitably be in pretty close proximity to the neighboring property to the east. And I'm also hearing the concerns raised about the adjacent property to the south as well and the sight lines. It sounds like even if the stairs were open, there'd still need to be some form of firewall at that property line as well. It might be very difficult to come up with a design that would actually open up sight lines from the southern property. I think which is what's sort of standing out to me with this is, again, the fact that this backs up to property lines. There's going to be some egress stairs one way or another on this property. And in general, the replacement of the existing very decrepit wall with a fire-rated wall seems to me on the whole to be actually a positive in a lot of ways. And I'm also cognizant of the idea raised that, these stairs were, even if they've been in place for a very long time, since at least 1919, I recognize they may not have originally been built as fully enclosed. There's so many properties in San Francisco that appear to have had sunrooms and enclosures of stairs built in seemingly around the 20s, teens and 20s, to Commissioner Williams' point. But either way, it has been in place for a really, really long time, and I'm not hearing anyone saying, when I moved in 1965, it was not enclosed. When I moved in, 35 years ago, it was not enclosed. So right now, I'm leaning towards not taking DR and approving for all these reasons, the enhanced fire safety, the fact that this backs up very close to the property lines, and what that means for needing some fire safety as well. The existing wall that's there right now, I know the variance has been triggered, but in many ways it's replacing what was there before. So that's the direction I'm leaning right now, but I am curious to hear from the other commissioners who've raised their hands.
Thank you, Commissioner Braun. Commissioner Vice President Moore?
In the absence of Mr. Winslow not giving us a verbal field report of his visit to the site together with inspectors, and there was nothing really in the staff report which would make me think that he found something extraordinary and would be recommending against approval, I believe that particularly the unveiling of the historic background of the building is essential, and I think Mr. Greenan clearly indicated the resources he has used together with preservation staff to identify those resources. That is, I think, where credibility comes in. And as to whether or not, and I'm speculating, at the time when the DR applicant moved in, the stair was enclosed or not, is not really an issue because things sometimes disappear and people at the moment do not have the time to properly rebuild them or leave it inconsequential. I believe that the way the remediation of the decrepit stair is happening is credible and indeed designed by an architect who knows what she is talking about. And Just like Commissioner Brown, I believe that my initial question when we heard this project in the past have been more than satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I think the due diligence by continuing it, seeing another architect, not to mention the previous one, bringing it forward in the manner that other projects come in front of us, gives me the confidence that this project has the ability to be approved with conditions, and I'm making a motion to do so. To not take DR and.
Thank you.
Second.
I do have a question. I really respect everybody's conversation here. In light of what is given to me today, this is a packet that Mr. Orr just provided us. I don't think this is the same as what has been submitted in our docket.
Correct. This was just recently provided, so it's pretty good to
today. Without spending extra amount of time of everybody's time here, but I just want to have an understanding of what is actually proposed to be built here, because with the new architect's drawing, it was proposed in the sheet A5.1 on the new elevations, the back egress stairs is fully enclosed on both levels. But what was also given to us by that structural engineering drawing, A2.0, it was proposed to be open stairs. So I wanted to see if anyone can answer that.
Commissioner, so also just for clarification, the only plans that have been proposed as this part of this application is what was in your packet. The plans that were provided by the DR requester are not the plans that were submitted by the applicant.
Can someone clarify with me what is going to be built anyway?
I need to put to the record that the printed out package had the drawings that are being distributed by the DR applicant. So they are in the package. But they are part of the history of the project. They are nothing that we are considering, because by having a new architect, those drawings are superseded. That is what was wrong in the past. So we're not deciding on those. They're just for informational purposes only.
Yes, so the only thing that's actually in front of the commission in terms of to consider, to approve or deny or modify, are the plans that were in your packet for the hearing.
Okay, just because then the plans are in the packet, but then also in the docket, I'm looking at it right now, there's also inconsistency. This exactly same drawing that I have questioned with, A2.0 by this structural engineer, whatever that is, RS Engineering, is not the same proposal for the same docket of material proposed by Pencil Box Architects. So I just wanted some clarification here. I'm looking at the docket 2022-00979-4DRP. Just want some clarification.
President, so the architect is right there. She's right.
Please.
Okay, for clarification, there were two structural engineers that were previously part of this project. Neither one of them has been hired to actually manifest the addendum drawing set. We do not yet have a structural engineer who's ready to do the envelope as designed, because we haven't gotten approval. And generally, I try to proceed cautiously before hiring a structural engineer so that we get the entitlements for the enclosure.
Okay.
And then. So those other two, that's for history from the context. I was brought into the project some months back to help get some clarity on what makes sense, and I'm doing my best, but neither one of those structural engineers, I think, produced any documentation that made any sense.
So why is it in our docket?
It's because this is a continuation from the last few years, possibly, but I don't actually.
Okay.
I don't actually know.
So staff, help me out here. What am I supposed to look at that actually is telling me what this current state of the current consultants for this current state of project? Because there's no delineation of this is history, background, context, and then this is from page whatever to here is what is current.
Okay.
It would just be the architecture pages, which would be relevant for planning review and approval. So any, if there are, you know, the structural drawings included are just for reference, but they're in no way required for planning approval.
Okay, so basically right now, can someone state on a record what is the proposed configuration of the addition of these stairs?
The sheets that are dated February 12th, 2025 are the only sheets that are being presented and requested for approval.
Can you point me to that particular sheet?
In the lower
sheet?
Right-hand corner, just underneath the name of the sheet itself, code diagrams, project number, and then the date, 2/12/2025.
So if I'm looking at the docket, I wanted to, I'm not just doing it but for myself purpose. I think for clarity's sake here, which sheets are representing your proposed
There are 11
configurations
sheets, and they're identified on cover sheet A0.0 under the drawing index, and they span from sheet A0.1 to A6.2. Sorry, A0.0 to A6.2. Well, we do not have structural engineering yet for this project.
So can you just verbally describe to me what is the configuration of the enclosure of your new proposed design for this, because I'm scrolling up and down of the docket and try to get.
Maybe the code diagrams would give you a full picture.
I'm talking about the enclosure of the actual shape. I'm talking about the enclosure of the stairs. It's not the egress code.
The enclosure is the property line to property line to property line enclosure that was previously part of the 2019 Sanborn map enclosure.
You can use the overhead to.
1919.
Ma'am, you could use the overhead to show the plans.
The existing
if you want.
And the. So this probably gives you what was previously existing. To the best of our knowledge, we
and
were on
please
site.
Speak into the microphone so we can hear.
Whoops.
Sorry.
To the best of our knowledge, I spent a number of hours measuring the building and have a number of photographs representative of measuring and existing conditions. And to the best of our knowledge, the representation of the existing and the representation of the new, other than a code-compliant rise-and-run stair configuration for egress compliance, is matching what the original was that we could see was constructed on site. So I can't actually represent something that I don't see. And this was the closest that I could tell was the stair configuration that had been more than 50% removed based on what the openings were in the original framing and then the additional shoring that was provided to maintain the safety of the enclosure of the original occupied space on the interior. So this is our, to the best of our ability, the representation of the existing conditions.
Okay, so you will basically the sheet A5.1 on your set is what you propose to do.
Yes.
That's fundamentally
yes,
my question.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I think would be nice moving forward, maybe Mr. Winslow is not here today, to really help us to really, when we have a case that is this has a history for years and we have more than half of our commissions had not seen the original case, would be nice to have like a big identification mark in the docket saying that despite all the different renditions of versions of from different engineers, different architects, but this is from the very back page, the last 10 pages of the 250 pages of docket document. This is the version that we are evaluating moving forward. This will help us tremendously, not for just us, but also anyone who wanted to talk about this case on all sides. That will really helpful. And I think that right now I observe from a lot of the public comment coming in today is really about beyond what my commissioner had mentioned, the technicality about whether this thing exists or should it be insist how it's being constructed is actually also the construction conditions right now. It's imposing a lot of undue stress to the neighbors, the debris, the inability to actually see and feel safe for intruders coming in. There are pictures showing that not just construction debris ended up on their stair steps, but literally sheets of shingles are literally dropped on their entryway to their house. So I don't know if the project architect can actually reflect that to the to your client about the respect for the neighbors during construction. This is kind of scary to see when someone would show up in front of me to talk about a picture where stuff that literally just sits over their stairs, they can't actually get to their house. And how long has it been this way? And how many more it will become that way, let alone about noise and other inconveniences that anyone will have to endure during construction. That's typical that you kind of have to deal with construction, but to kind of behaving in this kind of way, it doesn't make anyone to be a good neighbor, right? So I really want everyone to do their part to continue to allow a better community, right? I hope that you really reflect it to your team. But in light of whether we are taking this DR right now, the evidence and the effort that was presented by this new architect, and I am agreeing with my fellow commissioners, where I am supportive of not taking this DR. And so that's kind of my comment. But please be really well-behaved contractor in construction. People should not be living like this.
Okay. John's called the question. Called the question.
I think we have.
I didn't hear a second. You did.
Someone seconded a motion. Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Second, though, like someone, do you want to say something more?
Quick rebuttal to.
Okay, please.
And to the commission. Listen, I came here knowing that you're.
Do you mind to speak in front of microphone? Thank you for hearing purposes.
Thank you. I came here understanding that you're just going to pass this today. It was, you know, predetermined the last time I was here. There's really, as to your point, yeah, it's unsafe. It's been unsafe for me and my family, my grandchildren, my tenants for years. There's nothing that this new architect has got in her proposed drawings that address any of this. Rather, she said that she would present that to you in the future. So basically, you're having conceptual drawings of what they would like to do, right? There's no details in here of how to construct it, the structural elements of it, the safety of it. And I accept that at this point because I'm tired of this going on for years next to me. So please just go ahead and pass this. And let's get to the next stage because this is ridiculous. They've made a mockery of this city, the Department of Inspection, the Department of Building. The very fact that I stood here and told you that they've continued building without your variance, I don't know if that registered in anybody's head here. So it's just frustrating. This is a conceptual drawing that you're about to pass. It has no details. She does have certain sheets that call out elements of non-structural, well, they're details that will then later be included in the structural set, I assume. I say it's impossible and not physically doable.
Thank you.
thank you for your sentiment. And then there will be another process after this. I think this would we've taken into your comments seriously, and our zoning administrator is here. He hear it loud and clear.
Yeah, let's get you. It built. Doesn't matter what the rest of the neighborhood does.
I really appreciate everybody's have respect to everyone here, and I really appreciate everyone's making time here today. And our vice president would like to speak, and then also our zoning administrator would like to speak after her. Please.
I was actually going to ask the zoning administrator to please explain to the audience what is expected at this level of approval, because to my experience, that is quite extensive. This is a typical set for Planning Commission approval because it touches on all of those things which are under our jurisdiction. However, the structural details and the implementation of the project are not in our purview. So, Zoning Administrator Teague, would you be so kind to...
Sure, absolutely, and that's actually exactly what I was going to speak to, which is I completely understand a lot of these cases when there's history, there's like there's dealing with the past and the frustration of the past, and then there's trying to separate that out and think about the future, like what's going to be the result. So I completely understand the concerns about what's happened at this property in the past. But in terms of what you're looking at the same type of architectural plans that pretty much every project before the commission provides. Like, we don't get the structural drawings because, as the architect pointed out, they're typically not done until they know they can get the architectural set approved. And the structural is the purview of DBI and the building code. And I mean, the understanding with the way that the system works is that the structural are not going to be approved. It's not going to be constructed and inspected and finaled unless it's constructed in a way that meets code and is meeting those minimum safety requirements. So I just make that point. There's nothing unique to this project or this proposal in terms of the level or type of plans that you're reviewing now relative to what will actually be built.
Thank you, Mr. Tate.
Making sure there aren't any other further comments. Seeing none, commissioners, there is a motion that has been seconded to not take DR and approve the project as proposed. On that motion, Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
Commissioner McGarry? Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Braun?
Aye.
Commissioner Imperial?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
And Commissioner President So?
Aye.
So moved, commissioners. That motion passes unanimously 7-0. Zoning Administrator, what say you?
I will close the public hearing for the variance and intend to grant with standard conditions.
Very good.
Thank you.
With that, commissioners, that concludes your hearing today.
All right. Meeting adjourned.